May I please have the roll call?
Director Gibson? Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Repoglo?
Repoglo.
Sorry. Vice President Austin?
Here.
President White?
Here. You all rise for the flag salute?
Attention, salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I wonder if we could now have a few moments of silence. We received news yesterday that Martin Basti, our good friend, has passed away. He was former commander of the Oceana Substation. He retired as undersheriff, and he was an 18-year member of the Oceana Kiwanis Club. During that time, he did all of our pancake breakfasts and barbecue fundraisers. He was instrumental in raising thousands of dollars for Oceana kids. He supported the senior center of the Boys and Girls Club. He did it while living in Templeton. He would get up at 4 a.m. to come to Oceano to cook pancakes for our breakfast. He also was the guy who drove the trailers for our parade floats. And if we can please remember him for a moment. Thank you. Agenda review.
President White, members of the board, we have modified agenda item 8A and provided a revised sheet for you. We have provided the added warrants to Wilson Engineering for the work on the emergency generator project and Zenith for our workers' comp insurance. Both invoices came in after Friday when we posted our agenda. This adjustment will increase the total cash disbursements from $43,894.54 to $49,718.54. At the appropriate time, the recommendation would be for the approval of staff recommendations in 8A as modified.
Thank you. Thank you. Anything else? Entertain a motion.
Can I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda with the modifications of item 8A?
The whole, no. We're doing the agenda review. It's okay, Linda. The agenda review, have we got a second?
I move that we accept the agenda as presented with the modifications.
So I second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 4-0, 1 absent. Moving on to closed session. Mr. Minnery.
I will note for the record that there is no public here for public comment on closed session. So pursuant to Government Code 54957, item 5A is closed session as the performance evaluation of the general manager. 5B, pursuant to Government Code 54956.9A, conference with legal counsel regarding the Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District litigation. Pursuant to 5C, pursuant to Government Code 54957.6, conference with labor negotiators, agencies designated representative, its general manager, Pavel Ogren, the employee organization, it's the Service Employees International Union 620, and unrepresented management positions.
And there's no public comment on that because nobody's here either. So we'll adjourn to closed session at... It's okay. All right. Call meeting of the Oceana Community Service District Board of Directors for Wednesday, August 8th, back into order at 6:45. May I have report out of closed session, Mr. Minery?
The report out of closed sessions was no reportable action.
Thank you very much. Moving on to public comments. Public comments for items that are not on the agenda. This public comment period provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction of the district that are not listed on the agenda. We ask the public to limit their comments to 3 minutes. Anybody who would like to speak on items not on the agenda? And I have one speaker slip. Is
Hi, Darcy Battielli. Just checking in, see if there's anything different.
I don't believe there is tonight.
Okay, thank
so
you.
Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Aaron Hunkel?
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, President and members of the board, thanks for your time. My name's Aaron Hankey. I'm here as a representative for No on Measure G. If Measure G, which will be on the ballot here this November, November 6th in San Luis Obispo County, if passed, the measure will shut down the oil and gas industry here locally within 2 to 3 years' time. Shutting down an industry that has operated for over a century, that provides funding for local schools, vital programs, as well as public safety here in the county. For this reason, thank you for your time once again, but I would urge the board to take a no position. That is up to you guys, obviously. But that is what I'm here to say today. So I'll take any questions if anyone has that, or otherwise, that's all.
Does anybody on the board have any comments or questions?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hi. My understanding is that it would not affect any current operations.
Yeah.
So why are you saying that it would shut down the oil?
So the way the broad language of the initiative and the way that it's written actually doesn't allow existing maintenance of certain wells as well as permitting process. So it would shut down the existing wells as is in the Arroyo Grande oil field.
I don't believe that's correct, but thank you.
Cynthia?
Yeah, thank you.
Well, where were you from? What was your...
Yeah, I'm a San Luis Obispo. I live in San Luis Obispo, and I'm a representative of No on Measure G.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Special presentations and reports. Staff reports. Mr. Maraschino?
Good evening, board. Tony Maraschino. And I want to welcome the two new board members. Thank you. All right. For the past couple, I just want to go over, actually, Lopez. Lopez is currently at 46.2% full, which is 22,827 acre feet. We had zero SSOs for the month of July. We're still taking no state water currently. We've had delivered Lopez at 174 acre feet, and we have pumped 87 acre feet since April 1st. Samples, work orders, 7 of them, 8 USAs. USAs are underground service alerts, where you go and mark your utilities before a contractor goes to dig. 7 customer service calls. We had 2 after-hours call-outs. One was for Strandway. A water line broke on the customer side, so we just shut off the customer valve so it could get repaired. We had a backflow on Vista, the apartment complex, that was shut off at the backflow device. So the on-call operator advised the maintenance of the facility to remove the handle so it cannot be tampered with that easy again, and he did. He took his recommendation, so hopefully we won't have to go back out there for a simple ball valve shutting off an entire apartment complex. Quite a few meter changeouts, comment codes from meter reads, basically our comments on when we have to raise meter boxes, cut brush, make our life a little easier. Trash removal, weed abatement, And last Friday, the lift station, we replaced the high-level alarm on it, and it worked great. We had both motors get clogged due to the high influx of people at the state parks and just the beach area. A lot of rags, the Swiffers, that stuff doesn't get tore up by the motor. It's all the newer products that don't get eaten up, so it clogs the impellers. So we had a high-level alarm Friday about 1 o'clock. We got down there, got both motors pulled, cleared the debris. We had the company come out and just keep the wet well down and dump at the sanitation district with coordination with them. But while we were cleaning it, there was a power outage. So the power outage, it was only supposed to be for a couple hours. We got the emergency generator out there. It didn't come back on until almost before midnight, 11:30 or so. PG&E was having some issues. So then it required both operators to go out there because it is a confined space. But other than that, then when we did turn the motors back on, one of them actually blew. So currently finding out some cost estimates to get it rewound, rebuilt, and purchase a new one. So that's all in the works. Everything else is running good. Just requires a little bit more attention and maintenance right now with one motor running. Any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. I'm just trying to jog my memory. Isn't there some serious work that's proposed for that pumping station?
Yes. I've discussed that with the general manager because it is from 1964, and the wet well doesn't have what I believe is adequate capacity for today's day and age of people, even at the state parks and. Yes, we've discussed that, and that is a project we have discussed.
All we need,
Madam President, most recently on that, I've recently approved a purchase order with Terra Verde Consulting. Terra Verde did the environmental permitting for us on the emergency replacement line underneath the lagoon. They've done more of the environmental work on the lagoon area than just about everybody. They're one of the consultants who's doing the environmental monitoring for the county's air park bridge replacement project right now. And I haven't given them specific direction yet, but at the location of the existing pump station, there's a paper street that sort of goes adjacent to the lagoon. We would really like to be able to locate the pump station off of its existing location, which is kind of in the street and the sidewalk, and get it behind sidewalk. In order to look at whether that's feasible or not, in the near future, I'm going to ask Terra Verde to start evaluating that. Sometimes it's a matter of what's the nature of the habitat. Is it high-valued habitat, or is it not high-valued habitat? Our project alternatives are more, the critical aspects are more where we might be able to locate the new pump station. Will we be able to get it behind behind the sidewalk or not? So I want to initiate those efforts with Terra Verde. And then from there, the engineering alternatives will be relatively straightforward.
Just seems like, especially every time the electricity goes off or every time, there's big crowds, we begin to have trouble with that particular site, and it's probably costing us a lot of money. But, plus, I really like the staff having to work until midnight. I'm sure they do, too.
Well, the pump station itself is, one of the many different facilities we have. I really appreciate Tony and Jason and Casey because whether it's the pump station or another facility, utility operations are the type of operations where individuals get called out at late night sometimes to take care of problems. And we see that with PG&E trucks, replacing transformers that blow up in the middle of the night and everything else. So I think they'll be pretty clear if they feel the callbacks are getting out of hand.
I wasn't thinking of it that way, but it's just like every time the PG&E truck goes out, we have to run the generator down to that pumping station, and
it's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
Okay.
We lose off-site power. That's why we have emergency generators and backup boosters and natural gas boosters. It's just a little redundancy to ensure that everything keeps flowing how it should be.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. More questions? Yeah.
Does it happen often, the clogging with the wet wipes and swifters?
We were there, I want to say, within the last 3 weeks. That's something I did discuss with the general manager regarding the material that's going into the wet well. State Parks does feed our wet well from their location, and they have had off-site companies come and vacuum out their lift station that pumps into ours numerous times recently just because of the influx of people that are dumping at their facility. And I think they might, you know, they could be getting overwhelmed with that type of debris, and it just bypasses their baskets and comes into our system, into our wet well.
I wonder if some kind of public education outreach would help with that, but maybe that would be on State Parks.
Yeah, that's where our immediate thought was, because as Tony mentioned, this was the second incident in less than a month. And I think we probably only had one incident in the prior 4 years that I can think of.
We've had a few here and there. You know, it does happen.
So State Parks recently, you know, redid the park facilities, did a lot of nice upgrades and modifications. And then hearing that they were also having a problem with debris going into their strainer. So Tony, you know, he's following up with State Parks and whether they have to do better education of the people who are at the campground or whether they need to start thinking about modifying some of their facilities to prevent the stuff from getting in will both be important, because ultimately if we continue to have this problem and we trace it back clearly to things that are coming from State Parks, then that would put us in a position to take enforcement actions against State Parks. You know, that those are all prohibited discharges and everything. So Tony's, you know, initiating additional discussions with them.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, Tony?
Tony, one more.
When do you start the utilities on Air Park?
It's currently depending on the development of the bridge, on how where they're at.
Will it be after the bridge is actually in?
So the bridge has to be formed with wood, and then they'll pour it. And then once it pours, then that's when we're able to go in there after it's cured.
So it'll be a while. I just didn't know.
Yes, you're looking at right now September. You know, October was the initial time frame. Hopefully we can get in there a little bit earlier. There is some stuff we have to do prior to us going and laying pipe.
Okay.
We got to replace a few things prior to that.
Great. Thank you.
Yes.
And we did get our check for $5,000 from the county. So we got that 2 days ago, Monday maybe, yesterday, yeah. So that basically, you know, reimburses us for our costs associated with the sewer system overflow and.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. And I believe General Manager's reports are next.
Yeah. President White, I'm not sure if you know the number, but in regarding Five Cities Fire Authority, my understanding is we have a number of firefighters who are out.
Yes, I do know. We have six, this is regard to Five Cities Fire Authority, we have four firefighters on a truck and two dozer specialists in management at the car fire. The firefighters are due home, I think, tomorrow or the next day from their 14 days. And because the Five Cities Fire Authority is feeling shorthanded, and these guys say they are extremely fatigued, really, really hard firefighting, we will not be sending a second crew to any of the fires at this time.
So again, hats off to the individuals who are helping fight those fires. I had even recently read in the newspaper that California was having volunteers come in from Australia and one
Florida.
Other... In where?
Florida.
In Florida, because of the...
And they're reaching out to the military for support.
We're getting military.
Things like, you know, I'm...
National Guard, I think.
National Guard support, feeding and that. And it's really... You know, the Thomas fire last year in Santa Barbara, Ventura County, was the biggest fire in the state. Well, they aren't. They don't. They're now, I think, third. And the Mendocino fires are just not quitting. And I get the morning update from through the fire chief for California. And yesterday morning, I think at one point, CAL FIRE was down to 3 brush trucks in the state available to use. Wow.
How many?
3.
Wow.
They had 3 trucks in backup that weren't assigned to something. So, yes, do not play with fireworks, Oceano, please. Thank you. Anyway.
Thanks. Then moving to my report to your board. Tomorrow, Romina Construction will be tapping into one of our water lines in order to provide a fire service for Lucy Amara at Oceano Elementary School. And I mention this because they want to get it done before school starts. We got a call last week, and something happened on the project management side for Lucy Amara where we weren't provided any advance notice of what was going on. So we scrambled. Tony worked with the district engineer, Nicole, Celia. Everybody tried to, you know, really respond to Lucy Amara's needs pretty quickly. And today we wrap that up so that they can move ahead with their what's called a hot tap, because it's a 12-inch line. They're going to connect a 6-inch lateral for firefighting purposes. And basically they do that with a live water line, and so it's called a hot tap. But I guess that starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, Tony. So your Oceano team pulled together pretty quickly to help get that together for Lucy Amara. On the local hazard mitigation plan, the Category 5 consultants has provided us a preliminary draft. Nicole's read through it entirely, and I'm most of the way through it with comments, so I'm very pleased that they have been able to create the administrative draft as quickly as they have. Public drafts, I'm anticipating, are probably about a month away. Not exactly sure on that timing. Some of my upcoming priorities are, in addition to finishing my review of the local hazard mitigation plan, is to initiate the recruitment of the 2 positions that are your board approved, the operator in training, who is going to half-time be dedicated to the implementation of some of the solid waste management programs and policies that were adopted last year. And then the other half-time is to assist the crews in a variety of utility operations. And then the permanent part-time administrative assistants who will help with in the office on a variety of items. So I need to get those recruitments going pretty promptly here. And then capital project priorities. Your board recently approved the utility reimbursement agreement with the county, where we need to modify a number of about 7 of our water and sewer lines for the county's Highway 1 drainage project. That's their drainage project is primarily to alleviate, not eliminate, alleviate the nuisance flooding that we see on Highway 1 and 13th Street whenever we get any, you know, notable amount of rain, really, and then also on Highway 1 and 17th Street. So we need to modify some of our pipelines in order to accommodate their drainage line, and need to work on getting those bid documents together. The county is also going to be doing an asphalt overlay project on a number of streets in Oceano next year. Right now, they've been doing what are called slurry seals, and I think that if you drive around, you'll see new blacktop on a number of streets. It's a real thin layer of basically like an oil emulsifier that helps to regenerate the pavement and helps with its longevity. But next year, it's actual AC overlays, which are a couple of inches of concrete. And so we've identified a couple of streets where we have 1-inch and 2-inch galvanized pipes that we want to evaluate the ability to get those replaced prior to the county's overlay project. So I need to start working on that and prepare an agenda item for your board's consideration. And then the third capital project that we need to get out to bid in the near future is the emergency generator. The good news is that we obtained the permit from the county earlier this week, so we're ready to go. And as previously reported to your board, for the actual purpose of the generator, through some of the county's hazard money, we were awarded a grant for the generator for the actual purpose. And I heard within the last couple of weeks that under that particular program, that may have been the largest grant ever awarded through that county program. So it's going to be somewhere between $30,000 and $40,000 for our new generator. So the sequencing is we need to buy the generator first, figure out when we're going to get that ordered. But we purchased the generator for the contractor install. And so that'll be on your agenda in the near future as well. Moving beyond rules and beyond the capital projects, then need to move into the rules and regulations. Damon and Darcy were also here, obviously, for the place and need to do some coordination with them. But that's a pretty good plate in front of me over the next few months. And what we can talk about under future agenda items, if your board is so inclined, is when is it that I'm going to be able to get back and really do a formal update to the district goals and priorities. And right now with the workload, I wasn't anticipating putting it on the agenda in the immediate future, and maybe our timing is to just keep plugging away at what we have going on right now, and then after the election in November, when we have a new board seated in December, start looking at the goals and priorities for 2019. And with that concludes my general manager update, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Questions? I just have one. What's the time span on the generator?
So for the actual implementation?
When will it be able to be turned on?
That
January,
is
February?
It's a little bit hard for me to predict right now because the purchase of the generator itself, when we purchased the utility truck off of the state's bidding list, it provided for a six-month delivery. I think it was 6 months. The timing could very well be dictated based on what it's the generator that's selected is a Cummins. That's manufactured by Cummins. And so when we go to the state list and we start figuring out the delivery times, that's most likely going to be our critical path. So my next step is to look at what is that time period for acquisition of the generator. And then let's say that the day comes that we would have it in hand in February. Then I back up from that date in order to say, okay, when do I need to get the bid documents out so that when the generator is delivered, the contractor is ready to install.
Yeah. So. Okay, I was just thinking, would be nice to have it for winter, just in case we have real weather.
Yeah.
We're supposed to this year, I think.
I mean, it could rain and storm and the power go out. And it could.
It could, and, you know, we have had a couple of situations already where, like, PG&E had a planned outage, and so we were able to get a temporary generator to both provide power to this building as well as the sheriff's substation pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So we'll still have that avenue available until the permanent generator is installed.
Yeah. Thank you. Moving on, Board of Directors and outside committee reports. And I don't have any. Director Angelo, our new directors don't have any. Vice President Austin, I believe.
Did attend the sanitation district meeting last Wednesday, and at the first meeting I met that our new administrator is doing an excellent job getting familiar with the plant, and our financial report as of June 30th showed, I'm just going to give brief things, but it showed our revenues exceeded our expenses by $393,000. So I thought that was good. And the things on the agenda, there were three change orders from Kennedy Jinks on the redundancy program. And the first one, it was an increase by $48,960 to upgrade for another generator. It was a generator upgrade. Second one, they wanted an increase of $167,630
there was a pipe that runs the sludge that was undersized, and it wasn't caught in the original proposal. So we have to get a bigger pipe. So there's a lot of information that we didn't have for that, and it does increase the actual construction by quite a bit of money. So that we are sending back to have our administrator talk with them and come back with some more information on that. And then the last one was an increase of $13,780 for on our drying beds. The Regional Water Quality Control Board said that there needs to be a wall between where they're pushing it up. There needs to be more of a barrier between the beds and adjoining property. So we need to build a wall there. So that was done through the Kennedy Jinks, but this is a real small thing, so we rejected that. We're going to put that out to bid locally for someone to come in and just build a wall and make a berm around that. And we're hoping the redundancy will begin construction in the fall of 2019. And let's see, our administrator has been he had a meeting with the city of Pismo Beach and their project engineers on the Central Coast Blue. So he's keeping up to date with all that's going on. And we did write a support letter for the city of Pismo Beach and their application for federal funds for the Central Coast Blue. Our meeting was less than an hour this time. It was a good meeting. So that's about all I have to report. Thank you.
Who was running that meeting?
Pardon me?
Who was running that efficient meeting?
Efficient meeting? Why, I was.
Any questions? Okay, I'll now call for public comment on special presentations and reports. Anyone like to make any comment? Seeing no one come forward, we'll move on to consent agenda. Consent agenda. Have any questions on consent agenda? Oh, I guess I'm supposed to call public comment on consent agendas first. Okay, now. Have any questions?
No.
And I entertain a motion. It's got to be as amended?
Yeah. Well, I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda with the modification of item 8A.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. Moving on to business items. And public comments, and seeing no one coming forward, we'll move on to 9A, review and discuss the district services and modifications of the Board of Directors committee assignments as deemed appropriate.
So, Madam President, members of the board, in the agenda package on page 13 of 41 is the existing committee assignments to other agency boards and committees, as well as liaison and subject matter assignments. And we've highlighted the assignments that were held by previous directors Colwell and Brunet, although it's your board's discretion, really, you know, fully to whatever you want to do with those assignments. In addition, in discussing this with one of our board members earlier, the thought came up about a potential liaison with the Integrated Waste Management Authority. And I certainly like that idea. I follow what IWMA is doing lightly, but to have a liaison to IWMA, if it's the pleasure of the board, I think is certainly a good idea as well. You know, this is somewhat of a standard process that we go through periodically. Usually it's after the elections or every year in order to fill out this roster. But considering the timing and the resignations of Brunet and Colwell, I also wanted to make sure that I set the agenda so that your board has the ability to talk in general about the district services that are provided. And so it included as part of the agenda and material is the 2018 Directory of Local Agencies, and the primary thing in there is that LAFCO identifies what the current active powers of Los Osos of Oceano CSD. And then I attached also, as an addendum, we have the 2012 Sphere of Influence study that was commissioned and approved by LAFCO, which included Rio Grande, Grover, Oceano, and South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. And that's really, both of those documents are background materials for the board. I wasn't really intending on getting into any of those details. With respect to the final two attachments, I included under from the government code is specifically the powers relating to community services districts, and that started on page 31 of 41 and extended for a few pages. I highlighted in yellow those powers that the district is currently authorized under LAFCO to perform. But the list is really quite long, and there's a couple of powers in there that I wanted to bring attention to, and I'll do so in a second. And then under general powers is the last attachment, which started on page 37 of 41, and there's a specific provision in there that I want to speak to. But first, regarding our general powers, and in the board letter, I speak to this power that community services districts have that is not currently authorized for Oceano, which is to finance the operations of area planning commissions and to finance the operations of municipal advisory councils. And certainly in Oceano, it's the Oceano Advisory Council that takes that role today in terms of advising the County Board of Supervisors on various land use matters for Oceano. But this is a power that the district doesn't currently have that in theory could be enacted, and it's not that I'm saying that that's something to pursue right now. I bring it up in the context of some of the discussions that I've been having with stakeholders in the county. And as your board might recall, you supported a letter to State Parks Notice of Preparation on the EIR for the Public Works Plan for the Oceano Dunes. And the letter of comment was the recommendation to include an economic analysis as part of that EIR. That's certainly been part of the discussions that I've had with County Planning Department. But in particular, there's also been the discussion about, you know, should Oceano have a community plan similar to what the county is doing for Avila right now. And the general thoughts are is that when we look to the city's planning departments are often community development departments, and they include economic development activities. And the county, in managing unincorporated areas, is still pretty much in the mode of a planning and building department and not as much of a community development or an economic development. So the county has a new planning director, and there's a lot of optimism with the individual and setting a path forward. And so there are a number of different powers under the government code that your board could pursue, and it's the idea that in some of these stakeholder discussions, I've gotten a little bit of a feedback that that I should be taking the lead on some of these land use planning efforts with the County Planning Department. And without that as the specific power of the district, I find that being a little bit problematic. Again, I'm more than glad to continue to participate in discussions and encourage them, because certainly the better economic development in Oceano, then it's better for the CSD and the, you know, the services we do provide. I would not recommend anything at this point in time, but it might be that when we look at committees and whatnot in 2019, it might be a possibility, if the board then is so inclined, just to have an ad hoc committee for the purposes of exploring what are these relationships that CSDs can have to the county with regard to planning commissions and municipal advisory committees. And the reason that I bring it up is actually beyond just the issue of community development and economic development, but gets into the other section on the general powers. And what I want to point to there is on page 39 of 41, and this one I did not highlight, and I'll give you a minute to get there, but it's Government Code Section 61069. And what that speaks to is that CSDs have the ability to request what they call inspection warrants. I'm generally familiar with them as being called bench warrants. And the example really is that in our rules and regulations, in our ordinances, there's a prohibition against individuals accumulating waste on their properties. And yet we don't have the ability to walk onto the private property and do anything, right? In order to do something like that, we have to get a bench warrant. And it's Government Code 61069 that provides us with the basic authority to get a bench warrant. The challenge for a district like ours, if we're seeing problems, and there are a couple that have been most recently really brought to my attention, is the resources that would be necessary in order to follow through, obtain bench warrants, and doing the work that some might argue we should do under our garbage powers. I've always expressed the opinion that doing those types of efforts really requires a coordinated approach with code enforcement at the county. So whether it's through focusing with the county on better coordination on code enforcement issues, or whether it's working with the county of what is this power that the CSDs can do through municipal advisory committees or planning commissions, I would hope that in 2019 we can try to, you know, develop more on how do we work in coordinating with the county on dealing with both the serious issues that we have in Oceano, as well as some of the hope for community development and economic development. And certainly I wanted to make sure to include these references in your board packet to make sure that you're aware of these particular provisions. Some of them, especially with regard to powers, require going through LAFCO. If that's something that the district in the future would want to head towards, to the extent that they're planning commissions and municipal advisory commissions, I think that, you know, a lot of coordination would be required of the county, even in an exploratory basis before going to the LAFCO. But then again, with respect to 61069 and bench warrants and enforcement actions, that's currently one of our existing powers, but the reality of executing that power really would be dependent on a closer and better coordinated code enforcement with the county. So the specific discussion for your board tonight are committee assignments. I like the feedback that I got of a liaison for the IWMA, but I also wanted to give the board the opportunity to talk about the broad range of powers and that the district has and a general discussion. So with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions or to, you know, even participate in the discussion about filling the existing vacant community assignments.
I was just going to add, looking at our powers, I noticed two other little things. One was provide fire protection service, including ambulance service, which I thought I didn't. You know, I just looked at that in it's 61100D, looking at just as a little asterisk to go with our future fire studies. It's just an interesting thing. And the other thing is G, that street lighting can also include landscaping on public properties, public right-of-ways, and public easements.
So,
Those are trivial compared to some of the other real critical things we have. I just mention them in passing.
Well, and so for the purpose of talking about generally the district's powers, we have had some discussions in the past on supporting on the landscaping, because the county is definitely not able through its road department to do landscaping for communities. If they did it for Oceano, they'd have to do it for Los Osos and San Miguel and every other one. So the county looks to the local agencies to provide support on landscaping. And in some of the communities, it's volunteer-driven. The way that this code section is set up, it would almost imply that under G, if you have G's powers to operate street lighting, that you also have the landscaping power. But that's not... That's inconsistent with, because LAFCO's determinations is that we have lighting, but they haven't determined that we have landscaping powers.
Okay. Pipe dream.
That could be a question. Well, here's the thing. I think getting the landscaping authorization from LAFCO is a relatively easy thing to do. They're going to say, how are you going to pay for it? And we're going to say, we're going to work with volunteers. We've got a tiny bit of money. And they're going to say, okay. If it doesn't work out, then the landscaping doesn't get done. But without the power, the landscaping's not going to get done. So LAFCO is going to go into a different level of deliberation depending on what the type of service is. And if you're talking about a major expansion of service that involves a lot of infrastructure and people having to pay a lot of money, then LAFCO will typically tie that to voter approval of a funding source.
Yeah.
But in terms of doing landscaping on public property and public right-of-way, I do not envision that that would be a difficult LAFCO process. There's a very small probability that the executive director would say, well, under G, you've got lighting, and therefore you got landscaping also, but I just wouldn't anticipate that to be his conclusion.
Well, that's something we could do when we don't have anything else to do. You know, there's so many...
In our lifetime?
Well, I mean, there's only so much you can do with so much money and so much time and so many people. And you have to be real about where you put your resources.
So, and I agree with that, you know, the importance of prioritizing based on, you know, the availability of resources and everything. The landscaping issue might come to a head relatively soon, though, depending on the county's timing for implementing the revitalization project. Because certainly they want to do landscaping improvements with revitalization, but everything that all of my discussions with the county is that's going to be dependent on OCSD agreeing to somehow taking on the landscaping responsibilities, and if that means lining up our volunteers or 501c3s to help with that effort, then it could come forward, you know, sooner as opposed to later. Also on the revitalization project, there's a 10-foot offer of dedication that the railroad had made to the county, which the county is concerned will expire in 2020. The county discussions with Caltrans is that Caltrans is very reticent to accept that offer of dedication. And so the county might need support from the CSD in order to get that offer of dedication accepted by Caltrans. And that in turn might require us to make a commitment to do landscaping maintenance. So I've ongoing discussions with the county on that. And the timing of their revitalization efforts could very well be dependent on whether the gas taxes are repealed in November. What I'm hearing is that if the gas taxes are repealed, the revitalization project will be deferred indefinitely. If the gas taxes are not deferred, then the revitalization project would be in the foreseeable future, although they're not giving date or year certain yet. So... landscaping could be on your agenda in the near future.
Okay.
I had a question about the community recreation.
Yes.
Never seen the OCSD involved with that, and would there be ever any opportunity, or is that a question of money, or?
The community recreation programs are certainly a question of money. So that's an authorized power, and we do implement community recreation programs in a form, and I have never corrected anybody, and everybody says, well, we don't, you know, Oceano doesn't implement any community recreation programs, and so we don't, but via contract we do, and I'll get to that in a second. Our general fund money, which is approximately $900,000 in property taxes every year, and that's the money that would be available for recreational purposes, About 95% of that we use for Five Cities Fire Authority, and approximately 5% of it is used for the street lighting. And that's a precedent that was set in years past, and it's continuing. With the funding constraints of Five Cities Fire Authority at this time, it's a little bit hard to imagine that there would be a budget policy change there. But the contrast is Templeton Community Centers, this district, generates about the same rough, you know, figures, about the same amount of property taxes that we do. And I think it's about 20% that they dedicate to recreational programs. So they don't dedicate the same extent that Oceano does to fire and emergency services. Templeton also, in addition to their general fund education and recreation, supplements it with fundraising and other types mm-hmm. of efforts. So certainly that is within your board's budgetary discretion, but we know currently with the challenges of Five Cities Fire Authority, that would be a tough call to make. So moving back to what do we do for recreation, and it's just via contract. You know, we do own the community center, and via the lease agreement with Lucia Mar Unified School District, they're obligated to provide recreational programs at the community center. That needs to be the primary purpose of the community center. And I have had some questions recently about do we look at the recreational programs that are being implemented by Lucia Mar? And the answer is we have not yet looked at them. How well do their recreational programs meet the needs of Oceano specifically versus Lucia Mar as a whole, and are other people benefiting from the recreational facilities, the recreational programs at the community center disproportionately, you know, from outside of the community? So that's certainly an area that we can look into as to, you know, what are the recreational programs that they're implementing and how much does it actually benefit the kids and individuals who are within the community of Oceano. And we certainly recently sort of dropped a couple of items in order to help them get their hot tap ready for tomorrow, so it would only be fair if they helped address some of these recreational programs.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Another question, just a comment. I would definitely be interested in seeing us taking on more authority in the form of working on planning issues, if we can get that authority. We are the only elected officials for the community of Oceano, and I know there's a lot of momentum right now for moving forward with revitalization, and it would be good if we could spearhead that effort. I also think it's probably a good idea to wait till after the election and see who's seated and make a fresh start with that.
And that could work well with the timing of setting priorities for 2019 as well. I guess the first question is, are individuals on the board interested in this potentially the liaison role with the Integrated Waste Management Authority?
I would be interested in that.
So to me, that would certainly be supportive. I follow them lightly, and I'll give Bill Royal feedback sometimes on emails, but I certainly haven't found the time to really follow what they're doing in any great detail. So it sounds like that's a possibility. And then on the assignments themselves, get back to my cheat sheet. And then I, of course, pull my agenda packages all apart.
I have one question on that, on the Regional Water Management Group. It just says 9 o'clock. What day is that? Do you know?
Regional,
fourth one down.
That would also be on Wednesdays. Those coincide with the Water Resource Advisory Committee. So right above it, it shows
that's
the first.
Rack.
Yeah, the rack. That shows the first Wednesday at 1:30. So RWMG is the first Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Earliest. Sometimes what they'll do is they'll schedule it for like 10 o'clock or even later, because a lot of the individuals who go to the Regional Water Management Group meetings, then they go to lunch and then they go to the RAC meetings. So yeah, that's the first Wednesday as well.
would be interested in taking both of those assignments.
Okay.
I had a question. Director Austin, were you hiding out in the car? Because I only saw your name on here once or twice.
Well, if you notice, in defense of Director Austin, you know, I'll defend all your board members from time to time. She's got the primary role with the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District.
I know.
Almost enough of a burden for all the others combined.
Exactly. It's you need body armor. Let's put it that way.
And she works full time.
Yeah, but I'm not against another.
I'm really open to anything. It's all a learning process, so.
What about fire authority?
Or zone three?
I'll take whatever.
I would also be interested in the NCMA and district plans and projects. And I could be an alternate on zone three and state water.
District plans.
Okay, that helps. You know, what we had done in the assignments with Director Colwell and Brunet is that they had taken either the primary or the alternative role on a lot of the water resource items. So those two board members were, you know, really kind of tied in with me more closely on the water resource stuff. And I like that approach. So, Director Gibson, did I hear you say you're up for just about anything?
Sure. Yeah.
What about zone three?
Yeah. So, if you were to be the primary on zone three with Cynthia as the alternate. And then, let's see, it looked like, Cynthia, you were speaking to a desire with RAC and the Regional Water Management Group.
Yes.
And then if, Shirley, if you were the alternate on those two, but then the primary on Zone 3 and State Water, with Cynthia being the alternate on those two, we still kind of accomplished that objective of having two board members who are either the primary or the alternate on a number of these items. It would just be switched a little bit. And I kind of like the different approaches compared to previously, because one is RAC and the Regional Water Management Groups. Those are kind of like the big picture planning, you know, strategy type of meetings, and those meetings are the same day on Wednesday. Versus Zone 3 and State Water, those are operational related, right, because those are existing supplies. And so to have the primary as the same individual on RAC and Regional Water Management, and then the primary on Zone 3 and State Water to be the same, I think makes a lot of sense. And that would capture RAC, Regional Water Management Group, Zone 3, and State Water. Oh, on Oceanal Advisory, is it my understanding that we have three board members who are on Oceanal Advisory right now?
Yeah.
So we know we can't continue with that, right? Because then we're going to have a quorum of your board.
Do you want to stay on that?
Well, currently Director White and President White and Vice President Austin.
We all represent different groups on that.
Yeah.
I represent Halcyon on that.
I know, but we've got a quorum of your board there then. Yeah.
I'd be happy to resign.
It's your board's call, right? So.
Well, I mean,
let's see. Karen, you're representing Oceano CSD on OAC, right?
No.
Assuming, just because
no,
it's...
No, I'm not. I'm representing Halcyon Advisory, which is a subcontract to Oceano.
Okay. Our little cheat sheet here says that you're...
Well, and I'm also representing zone... No, she represents zone 1-1A.
Well, you represent it for OCSD, but not on the advisory council.
No, I'm not on zone 1-1A.
No.
You're on zone 1-1A. You're an actual member of zone 1-1A.
I'm a member of it.
Yeah.
I'm not a representative.
We're all okay, on to the advisory committee, she represents the depot and zone 1-1A. I represent Halcyon and I guess the OCSD.
And I represent the Oceana Beach Community Association. And just got that position.
But the big problem is we all represent something else, but we're all sitting on that board and we can't all three
right.
do that because that's
yeah.
a very public violation of the Brown Act.
So, you had indicated a willingness to step down off of OAC.
I will, yeah.
So then my recommendation is that we either say NA underneath your position or Cynthia goes into that spot.
I'm fine with that.
What about backup for the fire authority?
Okay, so we need backup for the fire authority.
I could do that.
And I'm thinking these subject matter assignments can wait till after the election, can't they?
Well,
can they?
Certainly subject matter assignments. So those are a little bit different than committee assignments for Cynthia and Shirley. The intent of the subject matter assignments is to, when I have something that I'm working on and want to make sure to do previews with a board member or a couple of board members, and then those are subject matter assignments. So I heard Cynthia indicating that she'd be interested in NCMA, and of course that relates to, you know.
Or I could go to NCMA, being you took my Oceano advisory away. Only it's in San Luis, isn't it?
No, so the NCMA, it's not that there's any formal meetings there. It's the issue of just making sure to be consulting with a board member on the details of how things are progressing. And so...
whatever.
So these don't meet consistently. They're kind of random.
Yes.
So I could do the airport.
And there's not much that goes down there either, so that's...
Yeah.
Well, we don't need to switch anything that Lori has or other than, do we?
No.
Okay, so let me speak a little bit on the Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project, which has really now been relabeled Central Coast Blue. There hasn't been a meeting of the elected officials in a while, but there is one periodically. And that's where elected officials, really up to two, from Arroyo Grande, Grover, and Pismo Beach and Oceana will get together periodically to meet with the consulting team and get updates on how Central Coast Blue is going.
I'd be interested in that, in following that project.
Okay.
Me too.
Well, you can have it then because I'm...
Well, no, we only have one name listed here, but you can have two board members. And so at the Central Coast Blue meetings, we'll often see two board members from Arroyo Grande or wherever come.
And we better both go.
Okay.
So the only thing with Central Coast Blue that I would discourage is that in the event that a representative from Arroyo Grande or Grover Beach comes to that meeting who also sits on the sand district, then we have to avoid a Brown Act violation there. So having both Cynthia and Karen on Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project or Central Coast Blue is good, but in the event that we have a noticed meeting from them, then staff, I need to verify who's going to be attending from the others. And it could preclude you, Karen, from actually attending the meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, so then on NCMA, did I also hear the same, both Director yeah. White and or President White and Director
yeah.
Replogle? You know how I figured it out? It's PL, like plight and plow. That, you know, P like in Pavo is different than a P like in plight. I've been practicing. I'm only going to try it one time tonight.
Okay, that's for NCMA?
Yes. Okay. And I like that again because both NCMA and Central Coast Blue have obvious ties in there in terms of, you know, groundwater issues.
Yeah. I can stay as a representative on Zone 11A.
Yeah.
I can't be on it. I live 100 yards too far from serving on it, but I can go to the meetings.
Okay, so then it seems like we've got most everything identified except for a couple. So the RFP ad hoc committee... you know, I don't really have any RFPs that I'm anticipating between now and the end of the year.
RFP.
But, you know, that's the role there has been reviewing the RFPs, and then when we get into ranking the consultants, getting together with this ad hoc committee. So you don't need to do any assignments now. What we can do is that if I get an RFP on the agenda at some future time, then you can identify the board members at that time on who will be involved in reviewing, you know, the proposals and whatnot. So if nobody wants to jump forward on that, that's okay.
I can do that.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. So we can put Shirley in place of Andrew.
And Lori.
Yeah.
And then, so on airport land use, Lori can stay on there, but we can add you there, Shirley, as well.
Okay.
And the question to me on airport land use comes back, and it ties back to the community development and economic development. Mm-hmm. And the analogy is the City of San Luis Obispo and the Airport Land Use Commission rules on land use and zoning at the City of San Luis, I mean at the San Luis Airport. And how the City of San Luis Obispo, through a 4/5 vote, was able to override some of the Airport Land Use Commission's determinations in a simplistic form, as they just simply felt that the Airport Land Use Commission was being too conservative on zoning requirements. It begs the question here in Oceano whether or not the Airport Land Use Commission has adopted land use, you know, provisions that are overly conservative in Oceano. And are they impairing development on Pier Avenue or Highway 1? And so I've had some brief discussions with Brian Pedrotti at County Planning Department and even briefer discussions with County Council Rita Neal at the county. And that issue hasn't, you know, risen yet up on priorities, but I think there's a really good question there. And it certainly ties back to community and economic development in Oceano, so I can see that as being a priority that develops as time goes by.
I can share with you the land use plan. And everything.
Yeah.
Because we had a.
And do that.
You got a conflict.
In some of these committee assignments, that's a good example one where if you were to engage on that one, Shirley. And really kind of, you know, do the review and everything, it would be super beneficial because it's one of those things that I'm not finding time to be able to do. And if a board member is looking at that and then coming in and meeting with me and pointing to things and stuff like that, then it helps to get the ball rolling on some of those ideas. Moving down to the other one that we know, rules, regulations, policies, and procedures, including SEIU MOU. So Director Colwell had been in on that. The SEIU MOU is, you know, close to completion, not much there. And the reality is that those rules, regulations, policies, and procedures, you know, I'm really going to be getting them on the board agenda for all the board members to consider. So the need for a subject matter assignment there isn't a high priority unless board member happened to want to jump on that one. And sort of the same with district plans and projects. Lori has that assignment. I mentioned a couple of the capital projects efforts that are coming up, but they're going to be on the board's agenda as a whole, so I'm not sure that filling those vacancies right now is a high priority. But again, depending on individual board desires, I guess. Not hearing anymore, I'm going to run through so far what I have heard. And so going from top to bottom, I've heard Shirley as the alternate on Five Cities Fire, Cynthia as the prime on RAC and regional management, with Shirley as the alternates there, Shirley as the prime on Zone 3 and State Water, with Cynthia as the alternates there. The switch from President White to Shirley to Cynthia for Oceano Advisory. On the RFP ad hoc. Oh, I thought Zone 3 and State Water. Maybe I did skip it, but Zone 3 and State Water. Shirley would be the lead and Cynthia would be the alternate.
So you're making it like one Zone 3 and State Water?
Yeah.
Well, they're separate, but I'm just.
Okay.
State the assignments
water,
would be the same.
Does it meet very often?
Every couple months.
Okay.
And State Water's got some, you know, big policy issues that are coming up associated with the State Water contracts and the Bay Delta fix and the tunnel projects. RFP ad hoc committee, Shirley replacing Andrew, and then Shirley adding to airport land use. For NCMA and Central Coast Blue, or RGSP, there would be both Karen and Cynthia on both of those, and then a new liaison for IWMA with Cynthia on that. And if that run is consistent with your board's understanding, it would simply take a motion from the board which says, I so move.
I would entertain a motion.
Excuse me.
Oh.
President White, did you take public comment on both items at the beginning?
I took them on all at the beginning, I thought, yes.
I remember that you did take it.
On all three of them,
thanks.
Yeah. Before I entertain a motion, I just had one little quick. Is the SLOCOG sedimentation meeting at all? I went to two meetings and I haven't been invited back.
And I have not seen any emails on that at all. I do scan the SLOCOG agendas often. I don't catch them all, and I haven't seen it on the agenda as well.
Yeah.
So I can follow up with them and ask them the status on.
I'd be curious on that because I had made some protests on that the last time I was there, and then... Yeah, they haven't invited me. Well, there was some, what I thought were some fundamental flaws in the consideration of the creek mouth at the Irrigated Creek. Anyway, so now I'll shut up. Now I'll entertain a motion.
Wait a minute. What about RWQCB?
Which one?
I've got that one.
Which one?
Oddments Vary.
The Regional Water Control Quality Board.
Linda, do you want to do that? Because I'm...
Well, you say, we'll change it when you leave.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, excuse me, is that okay if we wait on some of the stuff till after the election?
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just trying to figure that out, too.
Any more questions? I'd like to entertain a motion.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion that we approve the changes to the committee assignments and... to other agency boards and committees.
So, and just for a friendly on the motion, is as outlined by the general manager?
As outlined by the general manager.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0.
Okay, so we'll get, we'll email it a revised list to board members tomorrow.
I want to thank you for the...
Go ahead.
For all this reports, and it's good a refresher of everything that we do. I like that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's good for me, too.
Yeah. No, it is. It's good that, you know, I really enjoyed it all, so thank you.
Moving on to 9B, consideration of a recommendation to cancel the August 22nd, 2018 regular meeting, to schedule a special meeting on August 29th, 2018, and to reschedule the public hearing to consider adoption of the final 2018-19 budget from August 22nd, 2018 to August 29th, 2018.
So, Madam President, members of the board, not much to add to the verbal. We have to have the budget adopted, final budget, by the end of, by September 1st. We have a fifth Wednesday this month, so there's not a conflict with the Sand District. It just gives us that extra week in order to, for Carrie to crunch some more numbers. And she's on vacation on the 22nd, so she thought she was going to skip out of the final budget hearing. But by going to the 29th, we get her back.
Well, I have to be out of town on the 22nd, so it works good for me.
Is it okay with you, Carrie? we did not have any special noticing requirements for the final budget. The special noticing requirements were associated with the adoption of the preliminary budget. But at that time, your board set August 22nd, so that's why we need the formal action to reschedule that meeting, and then we'll post it on the website as well. And when we post the agenda for the canceled meeting on this 22nd, we'll highlight to make sure that anybody who's looking for it knows that the final budget hearing will be on the 29th as well.
Other than the date, I would assume that is a full-scale meeting, not just a single-topic meeting. The special meeting will have...
We'll have other items on it as
yeah.
well. There's some items that you cannot do during special meetings, so we won't... We don't have any of those. Yeah, very few, but, you know, we avoid those, obviously.
Okay.
And so if those recommendations please your board, then the motion for adoption of staff recommendations would be the easiest approach.
Somebody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the staff recommendations. Is that all I need?
To cancel.
Cancel?
Yeah, I mean, that's all in staff recommendations, okay. So that's a good motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. Hearing items, written communications, late written communications? Nothing?
No, we got the permit. For the generator project, that was the most recent late one.
Future agenda items?
So my thought on future agenda items is just to clarify the, you know, I briefly talked during my general manager report about some of my upcoming priorities, and my thought is that, again, we should put on future agenda items the 2019 goals and priorities, and figure we'll be addressing that in December and January.
Okay. Anything else? Do we hear a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Adjourn. Thank you all very, very much.